Although France had been the first nation to put an ironclad warship in the water, and had rapidly advanced the science of ironclad weaponry during the 1860s, due to limitations of the French iron industry, many French ironclads of this period would actually be built from the keel up with wooden hulls, with iron present only as armour and as certain elements of the upper structure. Thus, in the mid-1860s, they started building the three-strong Océan class of central battery ironclads, which featured guns mounted both in the hull-mounted central battery and in barbettes placed above it. However, with quite a few broadside and central battery ironclads under construction, new capital ship design slowed significantly in the late 1860s, with only two ships actually ordered. One, the Friedland, was an attempt to replicate the Océan class, but with an iron hull, much like Couronne had been an iron version of the Gloire's. As this ended up involving a considerable increase in size, weight, and expense, when it was time in 1868 to design another ironclad, the French decided a more conservative baseline than Friedland would be used. Thus, the Océan class was used once again as a starting point, but this time the main change would come in terms of propulsion. The Marine Nationale had just finished trials of the small ram Taurio, or Tauro, possibly, which featured twin-screw propulsion, and with it massively enhanced agility by means of turning her screws in opposite directions while also operating the rudder. Coupled with the recent Battle of Lissa seeming to show that ramming, and thus fine control of where exactly you were pointing, being very important, it was decided to make only two changes to the Océan class for the new ship, installing machinery and shafts for two screws instead of just one, and slightly modifying the main battery. On the Océan class, there had been four 274mm or 10.8-inch guns in the central battery, and four 240mm or 9.4-inch guns in the barbettes, although that had been after considerable discussion and back and forth. In the new ship, there would simply be a pure 240mm armament. This slight reduction in overall weight of guns would allow all the other features of the Océan class, like armour, size, etc., to be kept, while including the machinery changes, all with an anticipated increase over the original design of just 186 tonnes. However, as with many French warships of this time period, changes began to come thick and fast after the initial design had actually been ordered. First came an order to reinstate the 274mm guns in the central battery. Then it was decided to add another pair of guns to the central battery, but these would have to be 240mm weapons on account of limited space. Then they decided, no, we're going to lengthen the ship and increase displacement, because that will allow us to increase the size of the central battery, which incidentally meant it could now fully protect the machinery spaces, but, more importantly, they now had room to fully upgrade the guns there to six 274mm weapons. A few more changes followed, and eventually the new ship would launch with an armament of six single 274mm guns in the central battery, three per side, five single 240mm guns, four in barbettes, one atop each corner of the central battery, and the fifth in the forecastle as a chase gun, plus 10 single bronze 12-pounders, six forward of the main guns and four aft, in both cases split evenly on either side, plus some boat guns and a few rifle-caliber volley guns, which could be used either for boarding or in counterboarding work. Armour was just over 8 inches thick amidships at the waterline and just over 6 inches thick over the central battery, made of iron, of course. Displacement came in at a little under 9,000 tonnes, and 4,400 indicated horsepower drove twin screws to a top speed of a little over 13 knots. Although laid down at the end of 1869, the manpower requirements of, and then budget cuts following, the Franco-Prussian War meant that the new ship, now named Richelieu, was only launched 4 years after her keel was laid, at the end of 1873. She commissioned in spring 1875, and then commenced trials, which took up most of the rest of the year, eventually being assigned to the Mediterranean Squadron at the start of 1876 as the flagship. After 3 years at sea, she was brought in for a refit. During her time at sea, 238mm guns had been installed in the stern, and some of the 12-pounders had been moved to slightly more survivable positions. Additionally, a 37mm Hotchkiss revolving cannon had been tested, And following success with these tests, 8 such guns were brought aboard, with 16 positions made available for their mounting, split evenly along each side. During the refit itself, the 12-pounders were removed entirely and 4 further 138mm guns were brought aboard, with all of these weapons moved to the forward end of the ship. Rifle-proof hoods were added to the barbettes, and additional Hotchkiss mounting points were installed, including on the ship's boats. With all this done, she was placed in reserve with the intention of bringing her back into service when the next big Mediterranean ironclad came in for a refit, but at the end of 1880, she caught fire in harbour. With the fires rapidly heading for her magazines, she was hastily scuttled to avoid an explosion, and as a result, she rolled over on her side because of uneven flooding. However, since she was less than 5 years in service and had literally just been refitted, everything that could be removed was removed, and after a huge effort which included weights in the bottom, floats on the side, and a crane hulk, she was righted, repaired, and returned to service, having picked up 2 more 138mm guns, for a total of 8, with the new ones retaking the stern positions of the very first such weapons to be installed. Plus, the number of Hotchkiss cannons had been increased to 12. By late 1881, she was back on station as Mediterranean Squadron flagship, before moving to the Atlantic in 1884. At some point during this period, she received launching points for torpedoes, and she had her masts and rigging reduced. In 1885, she was given torpedo nets to see if they worked, but when deployed, her speed underway dropped to just 4 knots due to the drag they induced, so the idea of using them while at sea was dropped. In the late 1880s, she was given new boilers, additional torpedo launchers, and more autocannon, but was also moved into the reserves, from which she would emerge on occasion for exercises. But she was put into the second rank of reserve in 1899, before being decommissioned the following year for use as a barrack ship in Toulon. After almost a decade in this service, she was sold in 1909 for scrapping in the Netherlands. But a fierce storm blew up in the Bay of Biscay, and she was cast adrift to save the tug. Subsequent searching found that she'd actually fetched up ashore on the Scilly Isles, and she was eventually refloated and towed off in 1911 for a somewhat delayed appointment with the Amsterdam shipbreakers.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.